This is a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek, where we welcome priests from the Archdiocese of Indianapolis and the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana to tell us their vocation stories. We are so grateful to and thankful for our priests as they serve us and bring us the sacraments daily. Before we introduce today's special guest priest, we'd like to pray for you, Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen.
Welcome, this is Gordon Smith, and you're listening to the Sons of Melchizedek Show. That's a show about priestly vocations, and today we have Father Brent Bowen. He is a Dominican, currently stationed in the Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana. So welcome, Father Brent. How are you?
Great. How are you?
And I always try to ask, do you prefer Father Brent or Father Bowen, or how do you want to be addressed?
You and your listeners can call me Father Brent. That's how I always tell people that's the name I was given in my baptism. So
that's great. And you are not originally from this area. You're from the East Coast, right?
Correct. I grew up in Lewiston, Maine. Spent most of my life there up until college. And after in college, I went about as far away from Maine as I could get. I went to Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, Florida, with the intention of studying aviation.
That's very unusual. We're going to have to dig into that a little bit. I noticed that St. Dominic is the patron of astronomers. That's a look up into the universe, and so are airplanes. So what brought you to the airplane world?
I think from a young age, my parents owned a travel agency, and so we traveled a lot. I had a lot of exposure to airplanes, and I was always fascinated by flying. I remember when I was probably in my teenage years, the Columbia accident, and remember following that very closely and just being really enamored by NASA and their mission. And so the aviation and aerospace industry, like that was it was a kind of a natural jump for me to want to study that in college.
So you were more in the rocket ship world, not the airplane world.
Well, a little bit of both.
They're kind of connected at the hip, I guess, right?
Yes.
So you had this vision that you were going to be in aviation. What kind of education did you have prior to that?
I was raised as a Catholic in a Catholic school. I would call us a kind of a nominally Catholic family. So we were, in most good years, we were Christmas and Easter Catholics, maybe a few times more per year. But we couldn't afford to go to the Catholic high school in town. So my parents sent us to the public high school. And unfortunately, when we made that shift, we didn't really have any real connection to the church any longer, and so we had fallen away at that time. And it really wasn't until college that I came back to my faith through the campus ministry at Embry-Riddle.
So you had a reawakening, and was that a focus chapter or something like it?
No, the campus ministry there was attached to one of the local parishes, and we just had a really excellent priest who was our campus minister, who lived his priesthood joyfully and who really modeled what a vocation of service to the Lord and to his people was. And it was, I remember when I met him and when I got to know him a little more, I thought, this is the first priest that I've ever met that makes me really want to consider the possibility of a vocation to the priesthood. And that struck me. I remember it very well because he was just so joyful. He's still living. His name is Father Tim Daly from the Diocese of Orlando. So
that would make him an OSB, a Benedictine?
No. So he is a diocesan priest.
A diocesan priest. Okay.
Yes.
And so at some point, your faith was reawakened. What kind of time period between the time that your faith was reawakened and did you consider a vocation?
It was about my freshman year when I first started coming back to Mass. I would say the fall semester of my sophomore year of college, I had accepted the invitation of a friend to come to go on a retreat that another campus ministry near us was offering, and I did go. And I think that was the first time in my life that I felt like God could be calling me to something else, to the priesthood. And I remember that call came really when I was in adoration. And it was a little overwhelming, and I just said, I don't know what this means, but I trust you, and I'm going to give you my whole life, and I'll follow you wherever you need me to go. So just lead me wherever you need me, and I will go.
So like a lightning bolt, I'd say.
Yeah, and it had been growing, but that moment of being with the Lord in Eucharistic adoration was one of those moments that I can look back on and really remember how God's grace was so potent in that moment for me.
So I've talked to a lot of priests and a lot of vocation stories, and sometimes the priest I'm interviewing kind of fights it off. He's like, whoa, not me, God, not me. Did that happen to you?
It did a bit. Obviously, I had only recently come back to the practice of my faith, so I think God knew that I just needed a little more time to continue to grow as a disciple, to continue to work on my own moral life, my prayer life, all of those things that we encourage when a young man is discerning the priesthood. And in that time as well, I had looked at a couple of dioceses, and I was really impressed with the priests that I met. I had religious life really wasn't on my radar at the time, and so I was a little discouraged because it didn't seem to be the right fit. So I took a pause from discernment for about a year. I dated for a little while, but that call kept coming back, and so I knew that I really needed to devote time and energy to discerning this vocation. So I wouldn't say I actively ran, but I needed time, and I think the Lord knew that. So He put the people and the opportunities in my life in that time, so that when He really did call me, I was ready.
And that's what He does.
Yes.
In all of our lives.
Yes.
Whatever your vocation is.
Yes.
But we want to thank you for answering that call and for your vocation. We're interviewing today Father Brent Bowen. He is a Dominican priest. He's currently stationed in Lafayette at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish, or he lives there, and he helps out a little bit, I think, on the weekend as he's able to.
Yeah, so St. Thomas Aquinas was my first assignment at the campus ministry there. My current assignment is actually working full-time in the Diocesan Office of Evangelization and Witness.
I was getting there, Father.
Yeah.
Evangelization and witness. Well, we know that Dominicans are evangelists. They are preachers. How does that tie together with witness?
So they're kind of two ends of the kind of the spectrum of evangelization. So on the front end, preaching, we have to actually proclaim the gospel to people, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, and allow people to wrestle with it and to make a response. And then what inevitably happens is as people grow as disciples of the Lord, they become aware of the fact that they have something to share, that they actually need to not just keep their faith to themselves privately, but to actually witness to that in word and in action in their own lives. And so the office that I'm in tries to focus on both of those ends of the evangelization process.
And what are some of your duties in that position? Where do you go? What do you do?
I work in the office, and my primary duty is to administer the called and gifted charism discernment process for the diocese. And that is a process that helps people to discern and to discover their charisms, which are gifts to us given by God for the building up of the church. And so I help put on workshops in the diocese to help people, to introduce people to the charisms and to help them to discern their gifts. And then I help form the team that helps put on the called and gifted process throughout the diocese.
So Father Brent, explain a charism real briefly, because I'm sure some of our listeners need to know what those charisms might be.
Sure. Yeah, a charism is a gift given to us by God for the sake of others. So I would distinguish the charisms from other kinds of grace We have what's called the sanctifying graces, which are graces that are given to us for our own growth and holiness, our own sanctification. So things like the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit or the virtues or things like that. The charisms are what St. Thomas Aquinas would call a gratuitous grace. So it's a grace given to you, but it's meant to be given away. So the charisms would include things like administration or mercy or evangelism. So these are meant to be given to us so that we can lead other people closer to God and to draw other people into God's kingdom and to help build the kingdom throughout the world.
Today, we're interviewing Father Brent Bowen. He is a Dominican from originally from Maine. That's not very close to Indiana. You were near Portland, I think, growing up, and you had Catholic education, and then you got into the aeronautical field. But sometime in undergraduate, sophomore, junior, senior, you made a switch from the sky of humans to the eternal sky, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
So where did you go from there?
As I had mentioned, I had been discerning a couple of dioceses and didn't feel like it was the right fit. I was always impressed by the priests that I met, but I didn't feel like it was the right fit for me. My campus minister, thanks be to God, he encouraged me to start looking at some religious orders, and in God's providence, and I look back now and it's very clearly God's providence, the next day, the vocations director for the Dominicans happened to be coming through town. And so he was the first religious priest that I had ever met.
Go figure. So,
yeah, exactly. And it, like I said, often we look back in our lives and we can see how clearly God was at work. But in the moment, it can feel like, where is he? How are you at work, right? So I met the Dominicans at that time and made a trip out to our house of studies, which is in St. Louis, Missouri. And got to know some of the student friars that are in formation. And I was immediately struck by how joyful they were and how serious they took the charism of preaching.
I was going to say, if you weren't going to say serious, I was going to say it, because every Dominican I've met takes his and her responsibility very seriously.
Yeah.
They don't joke around.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like to say that we take our mission really seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. We allow a certain levity and joy in our life. I don't know if I could be in religious life if it weren't a joyful call, and I think you can any vocation, really.
And after all, you are a hound of the Lord. Okay,
correct,
you want to
yes.
explain what that means?
Yeah, when St. Dominic founded the order, we're often criticized because it was a new form of religious life. And so kind of in a tongue-in-cheek way, they called us Domini Canes, Dominic's dogs, right? And we said, well, we actually rather like that because we're really meant to be preachers of the gospel, proclaiming to the world the salvation that Jesus has won for us. And so we bark as a sort of way of a preaching the word to those who need to hear it.
And by doing so, you are setting the world on fire.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll explain a little bit about St. Dominic's mom, St. Jan of Az. I think I said it right. Az?
Jane of Aza.
Jane of Aza.
Yes.
Thank you, Father. We'll be right back. Thank you.
When a business is looking to expand, they say it's all about location, location, location. But what about when the church needs to expand, to stretch out and reach those fallen away, estranged from the faith, or those who simply have never heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then it's all about vocation, vocation, vocation. We need more people dedicated to the mission of serving the church, more priests, more deacons, more men and women of vowed service, and more lay workers willing to go into the fields. The harvest is rich, but the workers are few. Is God calling you to service? Pray on it. And while you're there, pray for more vocations. A simple request from your friends at Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back. We are with Father Brent Bowen. He is a Dominican from Lafayette currently, And we were just talking about St. Jane of Aza. You want to tell us what her dream was, Father?
Sure. So Jane of Aza is the mother of St. Dominic. And while she was pregnant with St. Dominic, there is a story that she had a dream one evening. And in that dream, she was pregnant with a dog. And when she gave birth to that dog, that dog had a torch in its mouth. And the dog went around the world, setting the world on fire. And of course, this is an image of what St. Dominic and his order would do when it was established and launched, to set the world on fire with the preaching of the gospel. So Blessed Jane of Aza is venerated on our calendar, and we remember because that through that image, through that dream, we got to know about what our mission really is, have that constant reminder of what our mission as Dominicans is.
It sounds very much like evangelization and witness to me.
Of course, yeah.
And done so with truth.
Yes, and evangelization, as I mentioned earlier, it really begins with proclamation. And so I, an older Dominican when I was in formation, he once described our charism as being preoccupied with the Word of God. And I really like that image of being preoccupied. Would that we all were preoccupied with God's word, right? And we are meant to take God's word into prayer, to contemplate, and from that contemplation to be able to give to others the fruits of that contemplation. So we do that in our preaching, we do that in our teaching. And as you just pointed out, one of the mottos of our order is Veritas, which is truth. So yes, you're getting all kinds of Dominican trivia here on your show.
I'm ready to sign up.
Yeah, great.
No, sorry, I'm married.
Well, you can be a lay Dominican, so.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the times when you are not full-time being a preacher. Some of your hobbies. What do you enjoy doing?
At the moment, I am a doctoral student, so I spend a lot of my time reading. But when I'm not doing those things, I really enjoy cooking. It's just after Thanksgiving when we're recording this episode, and I enjoy cooking for my Dominican brothers, my Dominican community. I also enjoy brewing beer, which is a hobby that I took up when I entered religious life. It's a very old monastic tradition, and so I enjoy that. And really, I enjoy anything that I can make something and then give it to others. So food, beverages, those kinds of things.
You know, Father, there is a beer, and I can't tell you the name of it, but it's made by monks somewhere in Germany. It's intended to be consumed during Lent.
Okay.
And it's so loaded with grain that you can make it through the entire Lent just on beer, and I need to find that, I think.
I've heard of this, but I've never actually had it myself, so it sounds like we're on a mission to find it then, huh?
I think so. So there's another Dominican that I have interviewed in the last year. He's a new priest, Father Nicholas Hartman. Mm-hmm. He's a local homegrown.
Yeah, I have never met Father Nicholas personally, but I am aware of him. I hope I get a chance to meet him sometime soon. But he was ordained for the province of St. Joseph just this year, in fact.
So let's talk about provinces and the Dominicans. Your province is not that province?
Yeah, so I'm in the province of St. Albert the Great, and that covers kind of the middle section of the country. But there are four Dominican provinces here in the United States. There's the one that Father Nicholas is a member of, the province of St. Joseph, which is in the eastern part of the country. There's mine, the Midwest, and there's a southern province, St. Martin de Porres, and then on the west coast, the province of Holy Name of Jesus. So all four provinces here in the United States are doing quite well. All four of our provinces are drawing a lot of vocations, which is great, joyful thing for us.
Sure so. It is. Thank you for your vocation, too. We so need priests of all types, Dominicans, Franciscans. In fact, there's always been a little bit of competition between the Franciscans and the Dominicans. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, or am I putting you on the spot?
Well, so from the very early days, I should say this, at the Fourth Lateran Council, we believe St. Francis and St. Dominic met. And they were actually quite edified by the other's witness to religious life and poverty in particular. And so there's always been what you might call a healthy competition between the Dominicans and the Franciscans. It's most typified by the healthy competition between St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Bonaventure, both of whom were theologians at the University of Paris, both at the same time. Different approaches to theology, of course, but really we believe as Catholics, right, that any time we are studying truth, that study of truth will lead us closer to Christ, who is truth itself, right? So even though we may have a sort of healthy competition with our Franciscan brothers, they're really our brothers and our cousins in a lot of ways.
So, brothers in Christ, for sure.
Yes,
for sure.
Of course.
So when going back to St. Dominic's time, the 12th, 13th century, and one of the things that fell in his lap was the Albigensian heresy.
Right, yeah.
Now, that was an awful time because it was not truth, number one, and there was a good God that was heavenly and a bad God that was on earth and human. How did St. Dominic fight that?
So St. Dominic, as you said, encountered the Albigensians in southern France, and he felt very moved by the Lord to preach truth to these people. But one of the things that they had that was an issue with one of their issues they had with the Catholic Church at the time was that many clergy and especially many monastics lived in wealth. They had quite a bit of wealth to their names, and they were kind of turned off by that, the Albigensian people. So St. Dominic, when he encountered them, he recognized that his preaching witness, his preaching of truth, had to be matched by a witness of poverty. And so when he founded the order, he insisted on voluntary poverty as part of our living of the religious life, that we share all of our things in common. And through that witness, St. Dominic and the early friars of the order were very successful in preaching not only to the Albigensians, but to many other people of that time, whether they be Catholic or not Catholic. Many of the Albigensians came back to the practice of the Catholic faith. There's a great story that one evening St. Dominic was on the road, and he went to a kind of an inn, and attached to the inn was a pub. And he met one of these Albigensian heretics at the pub and spent the entire night preaching to him and convincing him of the truth of the Catholic faith, but also the falsehood of what he was believing in Albigensian heresy. And the story goes that by the morning, that man had professed the Catholic faith and returned to the church.
That's a wonderful story. And there have been heresies all through the history of the church, all 2,000 years, I guess. And we have heretical people living right now, and there's lots of things that need correcting. And so we thank you for your vocation and your ability to go out and preach and try to bring some of these people back in the fold.
Of course.
I'm thinking about wokeism and gender confusion and so forth, things that are against God's plan for man and woman, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite saint?
Yes, he's not a saint quite yet, but
we're working on it.
Yeah, we're praying for it and praying for a miracle to his name. And that is Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, who was a 20th century young man. He died quite young in his 20s. He was a lay Dominican. So as I mentioned earlier, we have what used to be called the Third Order, and now is called the Dominican Laity or the Lay Fraternities of St. Dominic. And so Blessed Pier Giorgio belonged to this lay fraternity associated with the order, and he devoted his life to proclaiming the Catholic faith, especially through his associations at his university, but also serving the poor. So there's a story that his family was quite rich at the time, and so he would kind of sneak food and money to the poor in his area without his family knowing. In his service of the poor, he actually contracted polio, and as a result of that disease, ended up dying.
And he died as a fairly young
man. Yes, very young man. I want to say maybe 21 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that. But at his funeral, they did a procession from their home to the parish church. And as they were processing, all of these people started coming out into the streets, all of the people that Pier Giorgio Frassati had helped and served.
Oh my gosh.
Unbeknownst to his whole family. So there's this just sea of people processing with his body to the local parish for his funeral. And to this day, he is one of the patrons of youth. So if you go to World Youth Day, for example, he's often one of the patrons of the World Youth Day gathering, which happens every couple of years with the Holy Father. So
that's interesting and a great example of selfless dedication to the cause of Jesus.
Yes.
And one that you follow the footsteps in. So today we are interviewing Father Brent Bowen. He is a Dominican, as we've said earlier, but I want to make clear that he is stationed in our own Lafayette Diocese of Lafayette in Indiana, and he is in the Chancery office, right?
Correct, yeah.
So we want to thank you for your vocation today, and we want to thank you for everything that you've done. And you mentioned earlier one of the distinctions that St. Dominic made to the heretical Albigensians, and he adopted for the rule of the order obedience, poverty, and chastity.
Correct, yeah.
Right? So it was the poverty part that bothered some of the other people that were heretical, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So every religious community adopts these, what are called the evangelical councils, poverty, chastity, and obedience. It was particularly important for St. Dominic for his brothers to observe poverty. And it continues to be important to us to this day.
Well, thank you, Father. And would you give our audience a blessing before we leave today, please?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank you for calling each and every one of us to follow your Son, Jesus, to live our lives in relationship with him in your church. We ask you to pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, to bless us, to inspire us, to guide us, and to lead us into all truth. Help any of those who may be listening, who are discerning a vocation to the priesthood or to a religious life, to graciously and generously say yes to whatever it is that you're calling them to do. And inspire all of us to give witness to you and your Son, Jesus, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a special edition of Faith in Action entitled Sons of Melchizedek. Join us again next time when we'll feature another priest from the area. If you are interested in having your priest appear on this show, please contact us at Catholic Radio Indy.